This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Chris Brooks here, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Did you know that we are funded by the generosity of listeners just like you? This is one of 2 weeks each year that Moody Radio asks for your support. Please help by calling 800-600-9624 or give at moodyradio.org.
Please enjoy the following pre-recorded encore presentation of Equipped with Chris Brooks.
Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I am absolutely thrilled that you've decided to join us today. Why don't you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And with that, I welcome you into what will be a very interactive and hopefully healing edition of Equip. As always, our social platforms are available to you at Facebook and Twitter. But today I want to have a family conversation about the family. When you think about God's plan for the evangelization of the world, one of my good friends shares it this way, that there are two pedals that seem to spur on evangelism. One pedal is global missions, that we need to make sure that we are sending out men and women into the global mission field to reach the world and to spread the gospel in local communities and around the world. But the other is the home. The Christian family is so essential as a place for discipleship and evangelization and the passing on of the faith. But that assumes something. That assumes that our homes are healthy and stable. What if your home misses a piece, and that piece is a glaring piece? What if your home is missing a dad? You know, there's been much written on the epidemic of fatherlessness, and I don't think that the term epidemic is an overstatement. The fact of the matter is that throughout our culture, transcending race or ethnicity is a spreading sickness in our families, and that is dads that are not there, not present. And I would add to that, dads that may be there but are not spiritual leaders. But what is the impact of that on the life of a child, on the life of a family, on a church, on a community, when dads are absent? Well, today I want to have that conversation with someone who has written a phenomenal book called Finding My Father: How the Gospel Heals the Pain of Fatherlessness. Blair Lynn is with me today. She's a Christian spoken word artist, an actress, and a Bible teacher. Blair is recognized as one of the originators of the Christian spoken word genre. But she has chosen in this season of her life to write a book that I believe is stirring. It is written in a beautiful way, but it powerfully points us back to the Father. And again, it's called Finding My Father: How the Gospel Heals the Pain of Fatherlessness. Blair, thank you for joining us today.
It's so good to be with you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You know, stories like yours are deeply intimate. They are very personal. I think about my own journey with my biological father, and so much that I can say about that, how it shaped me, and God's restorative grace in that. But when I think about those stories, I think about how intimate those stories are to our heart. So with that said, what motivated you, Blair, to say, I want to write mine?
Yeah, you know, I was at a conference maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, and I was asked what I wanted to speak on. And I thought, here's an area of life that the Lord has really ministered to me on, related to not having my dad in the home. I know that there are so many children and adults, right, who are experiencing that or have experienced that. And I said, I'm going to just present this workshop on this topic, and we'll see kind of what, you know, what comes of it. And there was such a large response. There were, you know, women who were extremely encouraged by the time that we had together. So that's kind of how it started, just as this workshop. And, you know, through my story unfolding and through, you know, me relying upon the Lord for my own personal healing, I just started jotting things down and writing my story out. And I wanted to be transparent and, you know, and truthful and point people to what I had been so comforted by, which was the fatherhood of God.
Yeah, I appreciate just the motivation, the gospel-centric motivation that really drove you to write your book. Have you been surprised by the response? You know, I've just heard people talk about how profound the message of the book has been in their life. Obviously, you've done it through speaking. You've heard people respond to the book. Has that surprised you at all?
It has. You know, I mean, I think when you work on a project and, you know, I mean, I poured my heart certainly out on it, on the page, but you're never really sure, you know, how it's going to impact another person as they read it. And, you know, it's like if just one person, you know, is inspired or encouraged or pointed to the gospel, pointed to the Lord, you know, it is exciting. But to hear so many people who've been encouraged by the book already has been, it's just been a blessing and an answer to prayer.
Well, I think in some ways it's a blessing, but in another way, it has to just reinforce how sad, deeply and profoundly sad it is that so many resonate with the story.
Absolutely.
There's a part of me that wishes that your story was far more the exception than the rule. When you hear how broadly the epidemic, and I use that term, epidemic of fatherlessness, is. Some have even called it one of our greatest public health issues. And many politicians have begun to talk about fatherlessness in terms of public health. What does that say to you about the hour that we're living in?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows how much need that we have. I think it's something like 1 in 3 children under 18 are in a home right now without their father, without even an adoptive or stepfather. So, you know, the numbers are really large, and we need our dads. We need our fathers. You know, I'm so thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for the sacrifices that she made. And I know that there are many single moms out there who are holding down, you know, killing it, trusting the Lord, you know, to care for their children. And the Lord gives grace in those situations. So I don't want to discount that. But we need our men, right? We need our fathers to come in. And there's a piece that, you know, our mothers can't fill, that only our fathers can fill, because God has given them this specific call.
You know, so interesting, because, you know, when Father's Day rolls around, you see all of these cards now that are written to moms saying thanks for being both mom and dad. And that always hurts my heart as well, because as much as I appreciate mothers who have to fill in gaps that they shouldn't have to, my mom was a single mom for a season. And I just totally respect her for that. I don't believe we should ever send the message that a mom can be dad as well. There's something unique and missing when dads aren't there. So with that being said, let's talk about how the absence of your father impacted you. Describe your relationship with your dad growing up and how that shaped you.
Yeah. So, you know, my dad lived in Chicago. We lived in Los Angeles, you know, so we were basically a 3-day train ride away. And so our relationship really was somewhat non-existent. There were phone calls, maybe a couple of times each year, you know, we would chat over the phone, and he was very sweet when we would talk, you know, very kind. There were times where we would go visit family in Michigan, and or we would visit him in Chicago. He always had big bags of candy for me, you know. So when we were in each other's presence, there was a connection. It was just so rare that we were in each other's presence, you know. And unfortunately, my dad actually succumbed to, you know, the drug epidemic. So, you know, there were seasons where he wasn't available, didn't pay child support, you know, just my mom was just holding it down on her own. And that impacted us tremendously. So we struggled with poverty as we were coming up, you know, as my mom tried to care for my sister and I, hold down a job, you know, all of the responsibilities that come with parenting. We struggled that way. I struggled with my identity. I struggled with just even sorting through, who am I? not having had, you know, a dad's blessing, right, or to pour into me that sense of identity and that sense of self-worth. And so that was a struggle. I struggled just with authority. You know, yeah. I respected my mom, but anyone else in authority, it was like, well, you know, like, what do you want? You know, like, what do you need? You know, so I remember being even sharp with police officers or, you know, disrespecting teachers at times. You know, so those were some of the ways. And of course, growing up, you don't realize, right, the full impact of fatherlessness. It's not kind of until really I came to the Lord. The Lord start revealing some of those layers and helping me see, you know, the negative impact there. But it was huge. It was certainly huge for me.
Just talk for a moment about what your hope is. What your hope is for those who pick up the book. Why pen this story? What are you hoping to accomplish with in the hearts of the many who are out there that say, Blair, I resonate with that wound?
Mm-hmm. Well, for one, I hope in reading my story, you'll know that you're not alone, first off, that there are many people who are in a similar situation. And the Lord doesn't leave us to that situation. What I mean is that the sins of our parents, they don't have to be transferred onto us where we're bound, you know, to repeat those same cycles. The gospel is powerful enough to actually make all things new. You know, so when the Lord Jesus saved me, you know, and he brought me to himself, I didn't really understand, you know, that I now had a father in God. I had a heavenly father, and that changed the whole trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
My whole life was, you know, turned upside down in the best way. But I had to begin to understand what that relationship looked like and not look at that relationship through the lens of the brokenness of the relationship between my earthly father and I, but to see, wait, God defines what fatherhood is. We see that in Ephesians 3, verse 14, right? Fatherhood comes from him. It's not the other way around that we find fatherhood in a human in that sense. And so how does God define who he is as our father? Well, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I mean, he says, you know, I love you. I've chosen you. And, you know, my love is everlasting. And it just completely shifts our perspective when we began to hold fast to his promises. So
I love it.
I'm just praying that people will grab a hold of that. What does your relationship with the Lord mean? It means that you now have a father in God, and you have a family in the church, and you are not bound to repeat those same cycles. All things are made new in Christ. So that's really my heart.
All things are made new. And I deeply appreciate you writing this book with that goal in mind. You open the book with this beautiful reminder from 2 Corinthians 6 and 18. It says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. We're going to just take a break. While we're at this break, I want you to do two things for me. Number one, I want you to go to our website, learn more about Blair, not only her ministry and her story, but how you can order the book as well, Finding My Father, How the Gospel Heals the Pain of Fatherlessness. I truly believe, like many, many who have read this book, that your heart will be healed and your life will be blessed. I also want you to do me a favor and go to our social media page as well. Maybe we can pray for you. Maybe this is your story as well. Just simply leave a comment there, and I promise you that me and my team will be praying for you, that God would be your father and that you would be healed in your heart deeply. Blair, as I mentioned, is a spoken word artist. She's written a beautiful piece that goes along with this book. You'll hear it on the other side of this break. Next up on Equipped with Chris Brooks. Our sons need our guidance to grow into men who can recognize a lie, resist it, and replace it with truth. Lies Boys Believe is a graphic novel full of meaty Bible teaching designed to help boys identify lies and replace them with the truth of God's Word so that they can stand firm in a fractured world. I can send you this graphic novel and a parent's guide with a gift of any amount to equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org.
Growing up, my daddy was not an easy chair. He was a chair that folded, and since daddy's arms weren't there, I could never recline. My mother makes meals out of prayers, pulls something out of nothing from under her head wrap. You think she was a magician, how she musters the strength to be mother and father, but this is where the smoke and mirrors fail. She can't be both. She waves her wand, but is always only mother. So my home has an absent space, a ghost in our pictures, a missing puzzle piece I can never find. At 18, I finally have a conversation with my dad. I tell him I'm struggling with the fact that he missed every milestone, that he was never in my midst. He was a mist, and I miss him. I was searching for my identity, the part of him that resembles me, since it had been misplaced. Wondering if to him I was a mistake. He told me he didn't have his dad in his life and he was trying to find his place too. How many generations will remain impaired and repeat the cycle? Fatherlessness is a machete at the neck of the nuclear family, seeking to separate the head from the body, the giver from the receiver. But fathers, we need you. You are important, been given this responsibility by God to steward a legacy. God, who tells men to imitate him, adopts us into his family, tells the church to care for us, doesn't just offer us a home in heaven, but a household in the earth, so the cycle can be broken, freeing future generations from breaking, making them whole. My home was never where my daddy was. I've had to look to the potter, and I've found a new home since finding my father.
Such a powerful piece by Blair Lynn, Finding My Father, How the Gospel Heals the Pain of Fatherlessness. What a wonderful spoken word piece, and it goes so powerfully with the book, Blair. There's so many things that I want to talk about how God took you from a life of poverty and brokenness and questioning identity and authority to being a daughter of God who is firmly and securely rooted and grounded in his love. But let me just talk about one point in that piece. You talk about a conversation you had with your dad at 18. Can you take us back to that? Was that hard for you to have the conversation with your dad? And what did you learn about yourself and him through that?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. It was extremely hard. I actually had wanted to have that conversation many years earlier, but I was too afraid. I was afraid that if I opened up and I shared with him how his absence had impacted me, then maybe he would leave. So that kept my mouth closed, you know, kept my mouth muzzled because of that fear. But at 18, I just faced my fears. I didn't really think about it too long. And I just kind of blurted it out to him that I need him, you know, that I told him, you know, I need you. And I have been impacted by your absence. And I'm just struggling with that. And he communicated with me that he is afraid as well.
Wow.
And, you know, that he didn't have his dad in his life. And so, you know, he's trying to sort through life himself. And it really caused me to see him as human, You know what I mean? I mean, I knew my dad was human, but like I almost viewed him as like a superhero who would come in and save the day. And from that conversation, it helped me to see, oh, wow, like, okay, he's just as broken as I am, just as needy as I am. And I'm really thankful we had that conversation. From that point on, he really did try to make more of an effort to call more frequently, you know, and even eventually walk me down the aisle, you know. So, the Lord really used that in our life.
Yeah, you talk about discovering that your father was human. My parents went through a divorce pretty early on in our lives. And one of the earliest memories I have from my childhood is the night that my dad left. And I remember having the conversation with him when I got older. This is me now married as a newlywed, and hearing his story and hearing, on the one hand, the deep love that he had for me, but also the fears that he lived with, the insecurities, the own struggles he had, the absence of his father in his life. And I'm telling you, as I've gotten older, in particular, now that I'm a dad as well, I went from being very critical, very cynical, very bitter, to being so much more sympathetic at how much grace is required to be a parent at all. A dad or a mom, and this whole thought, and we say it all the time, but by the grace of God, there go I. And it, you know, listening to your story reminds me of the saying that hurting people hurt people. In many ways, if we don't heal this fatherlessness wound in our own hearts, it will be perpetuated. Whether you're a man or a woman, it will leak out into the way that you live out your life with others. I want to go back to your relationship with God. How does fatherlessness impact, or at least for Blair, how did the absence of your father impact your view of God and maybe even the way you felt God viewed you?
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, as it relates to, you know, my view of God, I remember when I first came to the Lord, I came to the Lord at 22 years old. Someone shared the gospel with me for the first time. And even though we were raised going to church, I actually had made a profession of faith when I was 9. I really didn't like personally understand the gospel. And so at 22, when I came to the Lord, I was like, so grateful to be a Christian. Like, I know I went from living my life to sin. And now, you know, I've been redeemed and now I'm living this new life. But I viewed God as a judge only who forgave me. Not now. Okay. Now there's a covenant, right? That like God is now my father and he loves me and he's chosen me. That was really missing in my relationship with the Lord. And it took me time to get there. And I think having that absence in my life, that parental absence, drew me closer to the Lord, because there were times where I wanted to have my parent there. And so it would really motivate me to pray and to cry out to God, and to even seek out the scriptures and be able to hold on to his promises about, you know, the fact that he's my father. You know, and of course I'm still growing in my understanding of the fatherhood of God. I'm still just amazed at it. But I don't think we spend enough time there. You know, that Jesus, like everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection, right? And we're able to access that through faith. And he says, okay, now you're one with me. You're one with me. And so my father is now your father.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so what I love about what you just said is that so often we truncate the gospel, and by doing so, what we declare is that upon salvation, you receive Christ as your savior, which is true, fully true. But what we don't talk about is the fatherhood of God often. And what we don't talk about is the spiritual family that we also receive. We are engrafted into this beautiful spiritual family as well. And all of those things need to be declared. I want to be honest with you. One of the nervous feelings that I had in taking your interview was this protection I almost have of fathers. I love men who father their children. And I was nervous. And I thought to myself, man, I don't want to perpetuate the portrayal of absentee dads because I know so many good ones. And I don't want to perpetuate, as a Black father, the what you call unidimensional portrayal of Black dads as concomitant with fatherlessness. I wanted to avoid that. But I want to say thank you because your book helps us to see two things. Number one, that because of the fall and because of the brokenness that sin brings, that this is not one an issue that one ethnic group or race has the corner on. This is a part of the fall that has affected humanity from Genesis to the moment we're in right now. And that the only solution for fatherlessness is our Heavenly Father. We're going to pick that up on the other side of this break. We're up against another break. But again, these breaks are only opportunities for you to learn more about Blair, her wonderful book, and her ministry. Why don't you do me a favor? Go to our website right now, equipradio.org, and learn more about how to order Finding My Father, How the Gospel Heals the Pain of Fatherlessness. I also want you to consider partnering with us if we've been a blessing to you. Why don't you support us today? Your prayerful and financial support, along with God's grace, is why we're here each and every day. So learn more at our website or call 888-644-4144. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a pre-recorded encore presentation of Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This daily program is fully devoted to coming alongside listeners like you to give you the tools needed for a successful walk with God. As one of our loyal listeners, would you be willing to become an Equipper? Your monthly contribution will be applied to equipping others all across the country. Plus, as an Equipper, I'll send you regular emails that contain brief pastoral messages prepared just for you. To become an Equipper now, call 888-644-4144 or go online to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. So grateful to have Blair Lynn with us today. She's a spoken word artist, an actress, a Bible teacher. She's also the author of Finding My Father, How the Gospel Heals the Pain of Fatherlessness. She is also the wife of Shai Lynn. Many of you have heard Shai on the broadcast. He's a friend of the program, and I'm grateful for him. And we'll talk about a chapter that he added to the book in just a moment. But maybe you have felt the hole in your heart that comes along with the absence of a father. Maybe you've felt the impact of that in your own life. I want you to understand that God can heal the wound of fatherlessness. That is the glory of the gospel. We talked a little bit, Blair, before we went to break about how broad this epidemic of fatherlessness is, but it really spreads not only across ethnic groups within the U.S., across generations within the U.S., but really it spreads globally. You write this in your book, the high rates of non-marital childbearing occur in Latin America at 55 to 74%. You mentioned South Africa at 59%, Sweden at 55%. This is a global problem, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. And so, yeah, we can't look at it as just plaguing one, you know, one ethnic group. But this is a major issue. And one of the things that's so beautiful about the Word of God is that God provides a remedy. You know, yes. He actually calls the church to care for the fatherless. He tells us, you know, in James, this is the true religion. We're called to walk beside. And one of those people listed are the orphans, which are the fatherless. Often when we think about orphans, we think about, you know, fostering and adoption, which is wonderful and which is needed. And yet also we have to include those who don't have their fathers. There are ways that we can care for them as well.
Yeah, I want to talk about your husband. I'm a big fan of your husband. I'm sure you are as well. But I also want to talk about your babies, Sage and Maya and Ezra. What happened to your husband around the time when you guys were about to have your first baby, I think about his chapter and how it impacts me. So he has a chapter, chapter 7 in your book, Becoming the Dad I Never Had. Talk about that chapter.
Yeah, so it's funny because from my perspective, he seemed really excited, and I'm sure he was very excited. You know, I didn't realize what was going on underneath. You know, it's kind of like the duck, you know, in the water. Yeah, it looks all calm, but underneath the feet are kicking. You know, but he was in one sense or another terrified, you know, because, you know, similar to my story, he was raised without his dad. You know, so what would it look like to kind of do something that you haven't fully seen? You know, and we thank the Lord for the church, yes. You know, that which is a huge part of our story, right? And as being Christians, that we now have that family to lean on. And we have relied upon the body of Christ to say, come alongside us. There are things we don't know. You know, there are areas where we lack in. So I've seen Shy, you know, just seek out godly men to say, walk me through this. You know, help me along here. Help me along there. You know, so I'm so thankful for that. And I even remember when we got engaged, one of the things that Shy said when he got on his knees, he talked to me about legacy and wanting to, Lord willing, undo all of the pain and the hurt that we had experienced, right? And do something completely new with our family. The Lord has been gracious to us thus far. And we pray we'll continue as our kids get older. Yes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He has been good to you guys. And praise God for that. You know, I have a friend who often says to me, Chris, you have to be what you didn't see. You have to be what you didn't see. And I think that there is something to be said about being fathered by God, which is a major movement in men's ministries across the country and has been, that God really can father us. And that really is what the point of your book is that ultimately the healing you found that your heart was longing for was found in accepting the fatherhood of God, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm just so grateful to the Lord that, you know, in his mercy, he pointed me to him and not away. You know, I think some fatherless children can be tempted to, you know, whether that's look for it in another person, right, to think that they can fill those gaps or a child can fill those gaps. But the Lord saying, come to me, you know, every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Everything that you need is here. And I want you to talk to me. I want to be your father. So I'm super thankful for that.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, Mark Dever, who is your pastor, who wrote the foreword to your book, says that sometimes it appears in the ache, this fatherlessness, it appears as an ache. What do you want to say to people who are living with that ache? So many young people who have turned that ache into anger, you know, and I think even some who have said, why long for something that you know you'll never have?
Yeah, it is so hard because we know even my experience was having a physically absent father. I know there are some out there who have had emotionally absent fathers or spiritually absent fathers. Some have even experienced abuse at the hands of their fathers. And, you know, my hope for them is that they would be able to be pointed to God, to realize that I know that it's not like, okay, you know, you snap your fingers and let me post this, you know, kind of throw this scripture at you and everything's going to be fine immediately. I know sometimes there is a grieving process. You know, it takes time to heal, it takes time to forgive. But I just want people to know that there is healing and there is the ability to forgive your parents. There is the ability to allow all things to truly be made new because of God's grace in our life. And that there's hope. There's hope. This doesn't have to be the end of your story, right? Where you just left angry and bitter. You know, the Lord can give grace and help you to see how if there is a way to honor your father. You know, something you said, Chris, is, you know, not wanting to have a book, you know, that beats or berates men. That's not at all my intention.
Sure.
You know, I'm saying, yeah, sure. We need our fathers. They are so important. They're vital for our growth. And the Lord has given them this call. And so how can we honor our fathers? Is there a way to honor your father?
Yeah. It takes a wise pen to be able to deal with the problem without idolizing the problem, lionizing it, pointing ultimately to the hope that we have in Christ. But I think by God's grace, that's what you were able to do. I want to bring out a theological tension that's given to us in Scripture. We often, when we think about fatherhood in the Bible, we think about one father, and that's our Heavenly Father. But your book brings out the fact that the Bible talks about a second father, the father of lies, and that's Satan. And and in many ways, the tale of two fathers is the tale of the saga of redemption. Who's your father, right? Mm-hmm. And this father of lies often steps in when our heavenly fathers, who in many ways are supposed to be a representative, when our earthly fathers, rather, who are supposed to be a representative of our heavenly father in our lives, are missing. Satan comes in, and you say that he gives us lies. And there's two main lies, you say, and I want you to speak on these two. The first lie, you say, is that there's something wrong with you. Talk about that lie.
Yeah. So oftentimes what we do is we center, when our fathers are not, or our family structure is broken, we center ourselves, or we place ourselves in the center, right? We say there must be something wrong with me. If everything was okay with me, or if there wasn't anything wrong with me, my dad would stay. Mm. And what I want people to recognize is that those who have had their fathers in their home, it's not that they were more righteous than you, right? Or they were, sinless than you. It's just, this is kind of the way that things played out. And so to not have your father, it's not about you. Honestly, it's not about you. if this is a choice that your father has made, and even as you talk about the father of lies, is maybe because your father has believed the father of lies in some way. There could be other reasons as well, but you're not called to take responsibility for the sins of your parents, right? All we can take responsibility for is how we respond. And that's all that God has called us to, is to worry about how we're responding. But no, it's not that there's something wrong with you at all. And oftentimes when we believe that lie, it causes us to be a people pleaser, right? It causes us to fear man. We're trying to win people over. And we believe these lies that if only, if I'm perfect, then people will stay. Or if I do X, Y, and Z, people will befriend me and they'll stick around. And we can't force anybody to stick around. We have to trust the Lord and walk by faith. But I believe that begins by knowing, no, it's not something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. We're all sinners. We're all in need of God's grace. The choices that your parents have made were their choices, period. So.
Yeah, you can't let someone else's brokenness define your reality. Your hope, your identity has to be found in Christ. All right, we're going to take our last break of the day. Then I'm going to come back, and I want to debunk this second lie. And I do believe that this second lie is so pervasive in our society that it has produced a movement and a generational disposition that is absolutely detrimental to the existence of our society as a whole, and is one of the greatest roadblocks to the sharing of the gospel and the receiving of Christ by faith in the hearts of many. So we'll debunk this second lie on the other side of this break. Again, I want to give you one more encouragement. Go to our website, equipradio.org, find out more about Blair in the book, order a copy, maybe even for your small group to be able to read through together, to pray through together, or maybe for your pastor, so that this can be more than a message, but a movement. We'll be right back, right after this. Hey there, friends. Chris Brooks here. You know, you may have recently heard me promoting our next program or even asking you to become a monthly partner, folks that we call Equippers. But today I want to invite you to join something infinitely more important. Would you consider joining the family of God? You know, it may be possible that you've been listening to us talk about the Bible and the Christian life, but you've never really met Jesus personally. He longs to welcome you into his family and have a close relationship with you. You can surrender your life to him, accept his forgiveness, and start your journey with Jesus right now. I'd love to help you to take that first step. All you have to do is simply call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Where do you go to get information about how to think critically and live compassionately in your community? You know, for many, they turn to Equip for daily encouragement and biblical instruction. And when you become an Equipper, your gifts are empowering people across the country to grow spiritually and live out the gospel in a rapidly changing culture. Together, we're reaching more men and women than we could on our own. Become an Equipper today. Simply call 888-644-4144. Or if you prefer to automate your gift online, go to equippedradio.com. Hey there, friends. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. I want to say thanks for all of those who are supporting our program. Again, it is God's grace and your generosity that allows us to be here each and every day to equip Christians to more effectively live, share, and defend their faith. If you've been encouraged by our guest or blessed by our resources, won't you pray today about partnering with us so that we can reach new generation with the gospel in your community. Just dial the number 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. As for today, I'm so grateful that Blair Lynn stopped by to share a little bit about our story, Finding My Father, How the Gospel Heals the Pain of Fatherlessness. Blair, we talked about the second father that's talked about in Scripture, and that is the father of lies, Satan. And how when our earthly fathers are absent, oftentimes the door is wide open for us to believe two lies about ourselves. One is that there's something wrong with me, but the other is that there's something wrong with men. How do we avoid hating men when we look at the absence of fathers in the home?
Yeah, I mean, I think for one, two, as we recognize that God's grace is sufficient, right? Just as the Lord has worked in our life, he's working in other lives. I remember, and I walked through actually when Shai expressed his interest in me and he wanted to court me. And I was terrified at the thought. And I remember thinking, well, maybe I'm called to singleness. And, you know, there were no red flags when it came to Shai, but I had so much fear inside of me. And I went to church and the first thing I heard was, you know, marriage should be honored by all. That was what was preached. And I think we have to have the Lord's perspective and again, not be shaped by the brokenness that we see, because when we give in to those lies, we live according to all of these what if questions. You know, well, what if, you know, I get married and my husband is just like my dad, you know, so that fear causes you to shrink and you know, and to not walk forward in faith like the Lord is calling you to. And there are all kinds of implications, viewing men the wrong way when men, as I said, have been given a wonderful, beautiful call by God,
yes.
You know, to lead the family, you know, so you have men who are protectors and prayer warriors and friends and spouses and, you know, moral guides there to teach and lead. And I even see with my husband now as he plays with our children. And, you know, I remember even when my children were babies and he would throw them up in the air and I'm like, Lord, you know, like, is the baby going to hit his head, right? But he's teaching them risk, right? There's this playness there that fathers bring and mothers are looking terrified, like, what is happening? Because he's made us different. He's made mothers and fathers different. And so God is saying, you know, we cannot continue to believe these lies. We have to believe the truth. We have to cling to God's word. And God is saying, you know, I am raising up men, godly men. There are plenty of godly men out there. And so you don't have to view them through the lens of your brokenness. So trust the Lord in that.
Yeah, I love it, including the throwing them up in the air. That's
yes, definitely trusting the Lord in that too.
you gotta teach them football early on. All right,
no football.
Maybe my favorite section of the book is titled "God Is a Girl Dad." It was maybe 2 years ago now that Kobe Bryant died, and I remember in the aftermath of that. There was this highlighting of his passion for his daughters and his proud representation of wanting to be a girl dad. Well, regardless of how people feel about that, what you want us to know is that God is most certainly a girl dad for the women that are out there that are living with the deep woundedness of dad not being there. Can you just speak to that?
Yeah. You know, I think oftentimes, something I've seen in my own life and I mentioned earlier is when our father is not there, sometimes we're not quick to run into the arms of God. We are quick to run into the arms maybe of another human being, a man, thinking that he will provide us security, the protection, right? The things that we're looking for that we lacked in our father. We didn't have maybe our dad there to lavish love upon us. So we're searching for that in all the wrong places. And, you know, my encouragement is that, you know, we see through that by God's grace, you know, to see, wait a minute, running to a human being is not going to satisfy you the way that the Lord will satisfy you. And even before you're married, even a husband can't satisfy you the way that the Lord, will satisfy you. You still need that relationship with God before marriage, Lord willing, because you can't depend upon any human or any created being to satisfy you or to lavish you with what you need to provide you the identity that only God can give. You must get that directly from him.
This is ultimately the point of the book, is that our hope is found in Jesus. Why should someone put their faith and trust in Jesus, Blair?
It's our only hope. So all of us, every human being, we've sinned against God. All of us, we deserve the penalty, which the Bible says is the wages of our sin, which is death. And, you know, God has made a way in his mercy to rescue us from that death. And so as we cling to him through faith, repent of our sin, we will have new life and we'll have a new father in God.
Blair, thank you so much for writing the book. Thank you for carving out time to be with us, and may the gospel spread so that the wound and pain of fatherlessness be healed. Thanks for writing Finding My Father. God bless you, Blair.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Folks, I want to encourage you to go to our website. Please order a copy for you, your church, your pastor at equipradio.org. And until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.